But let's talk about getting kicked out of a concert.
Yes.
All right. So everybody on gets in the running for Alice Cooper tickets. Josh and Shelton.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hello, hey. Josh.
Hello.
Got kicked out of Billy Joel. When, where, what happened?
Yeah. All right. So about 5 years ago, the first year Billy started the Madison Square Garden tour.
Wow. Has it been that long?
Wow, it has been, yes.
And I spent $600 on fourth row tickets. No one wanted to go with me, so I went by myself.
Jeez.
Nice. On the train, went down, went about a half hour early, getting a good buzz on. I walk in, and Gavin DeGraw is opening for him, which is, was pretty weird. But this Polish couple comes in front of me, sits down, and then followed 5 minutes later by this huge Guido juice head and his girlfriend. Now, this Polish guy and this Guido are fighting over the armrest in front of me.
No.
Like, oh, God.
I've had that struggle before.
Yeah, struggle's real.
Like they're best friends at the movie theater. So now this big juicer is elbowing this poor Polish guy who's got to be 75. So the guy stands up and goes, all right, switch seats with his wife. So now the girls are on the end of each other. Now they're just leaning over in front of their girls and just yelling at each other. So Polak stands up. He's like, you know what? I'm going to talk to security. I need to move. I can't do this anymore. Security comes over. He says, I can't do anything. He's like, you can leave if you want to.
This is all going on during the opening act?
During Gavin DeGraw.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So they finally decide, you know,
it's longer than the concert.
Let's go home. So the sweet Polish couple starts walking, and I see this Guido get up and cock his forearm back like he's going to lay this dude out, but the poor guy's not even looking.
Right.
So I scoop him from underneath, and I'm right behind him.
You have to be a big dude if you're getting involved with this muscle head.
Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
6'2", punch in head, yeah.
Right, 6'2", 300.
In the head yet,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just here to see Billy Joel. I paid $600. Right. You know, go figure it out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I locked up from his arms, but when we're doing so, both our momentum.
All right, we're going to put you in the running.
Well, now you're kind of a big shot there, weren't you?
All right. We have everyone's phone number, Phil. We have everyone's. We have it. Put them on hold. Well,
you went uptown. I mean, he didn't start the fire, so.
Yeah. He didn't start the...
He, we didn't start the fight. It was a Polish couple and some juice and goo. Yeah.
Beth in North Brantford.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I got tickets from you guys last year for Poison and Cheap Trick during the summer invasion,
right.
Which was really awesome. So I brought my ex-boyfriend. We actually just broke up, but he was very drunk. And
you just broke up when you went to the concert or just broke up recently?
Just broke up right after my birthday at the beginning of the month. Like,
all right. Sorry to hear this. But yeah. All right. So your boyfriend, girlfriend at the time, you win the tickets.
Yeah.
You go to the show.
He's drunk.
He's drunk, which is his norm.
Normal setting. Drunk.
Yeah. At a concert.
But
what does he do? What does he do for a living?
He's a painter.
All right. So you could do that on the
weekends.
Like Van Gogh or... All right. Gotcha.
Yeah, pretty much. My friend was working security at the Xfinity Center. So I was chatting with her. He walks right by security because we just had lawn tickets, which was fine. But he's just, like, walking by security and, like, I'm talking to my friend. And it was fine because I was talking to her. But they, of course, stop him because they're not going to let him into the seats. And he gets all mad and starts freaking out on me. And here I am still trying to chat with my friend who I haven't seen in a while. And, yeah, we got thrown out for him being belligerent and drunk and a jerk. And that pretty much ruined the concert for me. Mm-hmm. But.
Just say four words. I don't know him.
Right.
He thinks, you know, that's how drunk he is. He's calling me his girlfriend.
Meet you in the car.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Night-night.
He almost ruined Bush and STP last year, too. But I got to touch Gavin Rosdale, so that kind of saved it for me.
Ew, where did you touch him?
I got his ear.
That was at Foxwoods. I was, like, running down to take a picture of him because he was up in the balcony where we were. And I didn't even realize, when I looked up, he was right in front of me. And there were seats on one side and a railing, so he couldn't go around. So I was like, high five. And he just kind of turned around to run down. So I just, like, reached out. And
you basically cornered him.
You did.
I didn't mean to, but, yeah, that's what happened. And I was just, like, ecstatic.
Worth it.
I just wanted to get a close-up picture, but he ended up being, like, literally right in front of me.
You sound exactly like the type of person we want to send to a concert.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
You are in the running, Beth. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Thank you.
All right, call in the time you got kicked out of a concert, and we'll put you in the running for Alice Cooper tickets, because that's how we roll. You get kicked out of a concert, we want to send you to another one.
You're a person, yes.
So this all started with Jimmy Coplick saying he got kicked out of a Whitesnake concert. He was backstage. It's his show. They pick him up. They carry him out. Robert from East Lyme was also kicked out of a Whitesnake concert.
Oh, seeing a pattern here.
What happened? Robert in East Lyme. Oh.
I was playing. Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
All right. Steve, I was playing with Whitesnake a while back ago. Filling in as a guitar, back when you could walk up to the stage. Close to the stage, reached up. I had a ring on my finger. He reached down to grab my hand and pulled my ring off. So I took my boot off and threw it at him.
I mean,
he took your ring?
Yeah. I mean, just reached down and he's like, we're shaking hands. Because I love Steve Vai, great guitar player.
Oh, you did at least.
And he pulled my, when he had a hold of it, he just pulled my ring. My hand was sweaty, and he took my ring. I looked at him, and he just kind of looked at me, smiled, and I took my boot off, threw it at him.
But wait, he actually took the ring and didn't just fall onto the ground?
No, he had it in his hand.
Wow.
Oh, he was going to take it.
Yeah, you would think David Cody will pay people.
I don't know if he's going to take it or what he's going to do. Don't take my ring, buddy. I said, hey, I'm sorry. And I just stood there for a minute. My buddy said, what are you going to do? And I took my boot off and threw it at him.
Right. It was the heat of the night.
And
you
gave it back?
So you left without your ring, without your, you know, one boot.
Exactly.
then I took my pants off and I threw it. Yeah, so
did you get... Never went back to Whitesnake ever again.
Did you get your boot back? Did you get your ring back?
I didn't get neither of them back.
Wow.
I got
to escort it out. You had to walk out with one shoe on.
I love that.
There's a song in here somewhere.
Yeah, I love that. You were dragged out with one boot.
Right. Now my sock's all dirty.
And as he's getting dragged out, he's like, is that Jimmy Coplick?
Right.
Dragged out.
Nice. Jimmy's like, you too?
Denise in Berlin, you were kicked out of a Metallica show?
Oh, yeah. I was probably in my 20s back then, and I was with my brother. And some guy grabbed me, and I turned around and I clocked him. And he started pushing and shoving, and my brother got involved, and we got all kicked out.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Thanks.
Where did he grab you?
He grabbed my ass.
Oh, yeah, not cool.
No, not at all.
Typical.
Nope, not cool at all. But it was, you know, we missed the concert, but I got a good clock in.
There you go, see?
Oh, really?
That must have felt good.
Yeah.
Chalooyah.
That's awesome.
Yep. Something about a girl who could throw a punch.
Yep.
Yeah.
You kind of expect fist flying at a Metallica show.
You would imagine, yes.
So like you guys had to really be disruptive for the whole crew. And then you're all outside at the same time. Is that what happened?
No, they escorted my brother and I to our car, and he got, I don't know what happened to him.
Okay. All right. Well, that's cool. All right. You're in the running.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Seek and destroy.
Right. For the standard Metallica concert, the band stops the show and says, I can't believe you guys are doing right now.
Guys.
Excuse me, we're trying to do a show here. Hello.
Hello-a.
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 Trying to do a show-a.
We have another Metallica here.
Hey.
Greg in Glastonbury, you didn't grab a girl's butt, did you?
No, I didn't do that.
All right, good.
That time.
What did you do?
This was like 1991 or 92, back when Metallica came out with their tour where they, I guess it was a black tour where they had had no opening band, and they had that pit in the middle of the stage.
They had the what?
They had the pit in the middle of the stage.
Pit. I thought you said something else. Right?
No, and so
that's a different show.
Man, I missed that one.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. So the concert went down at Nassau Coliseum, and, five of us went down there, and we were drinking on the way down, and we go into the show, and, we want to mosh, but you're only supposed to mosh in this special pit, which is like $200 or $300 to get into.
Wow.
And so we go up in front of the stage, and there's a huge mosh pit starting, and people are in there moshing. And security comes over and grabs me and escorts me out of the, or actually carries me out of the concert.
How did they carry you? Over the shoulder, or two of them arm in arm?
Right.
Yeah, there was like three of them, and they just picked me up like I was, you know, like you see in the movies. And they just carried me out, and, I mean, it was a long way out, you know. And so they carried me all over.
Now, are you fighting as you're getting kicked out?
Well, initially I was, and at this point I'm like, there's no fighting these guys. These guys are much bigger than me.
Yeah, seriously.
So they carry me, and they go out, and I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's like all these, you know, glass doors.
Yeah.
They open up the doors, and they toss me right out the door. And I you know, I land on my feet, and I turn around, and I'm like, come on, you know, this is Metallica, let me in there. And they're like, sorry. And they turn around and start walking away. So, you know, I don't want to miss the show. So, and maybe I have been drinking a little bit. So I walk a couple doors down and open one of the glass doors and run right back in.
Right.
And get right down in front of the stage again. So it was pretty cool.
Really? And it worked?
It did.
No.
It did. They threw me out and I got back in. I probably missed 2 minutes of one.
You know what they should have done with that pit? Not charge for it, but just throw any idiot in there.
Right.
Like, all right, you're being disruptive.
Yeah.
You're fighting.
Exactly.
Throw him in the pit.
Exactly. Here, fight your way out of this one.
Yeah. Go ahead. Just throw throwing him to the lions.
Then place bets on him.
Yeah. All right, you're in the running. Thank you, brother.
All right, thank you.
Oh, that's incredible.
Huh.
Not easy to get back into a concert when you're outside the venue.
Yep.
Stevie Ray Vaughan. How did you get kicked out of Stevie Ray Vaughan? Joe the Barber.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey.
It was at UConn, and it was only for students only, and we're following the tour bus as it goes in. And we're walking alongside, and all of a sudden, security surrounds us. Nice try, guys, but you can't come in that way. You have to have a student ID. So here's the kicker as we're getting tossed out.
Here's the kicker.
We walk over to the side of the building, and it's on the practice field where Steve Ray Vaughan's playing. I walk alongside the building, and I open the door, and now we're in the locker room. We walk through the locker room. We come outside. We are behind stage. All the food is set up. Stevie Ray Vaughan's right there. I go up to the food. I grab a Coke like I belong there. I high-five Stevie Ray Vaughan. We walk right in front of the stage, and we watch the show.
Nice.
That's a great story, but it doesn't get you in the running for tickets.
What? We got thrown out once?
Yeah, but you came back in. The high five,
yeah,
you had a Coke
like
and
that,
everything.
Just like that other guy, just the same thing.
You high five the performer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get a Coke.
Yeah, but we got tossed, but then we were able to get back in.
That's what I'm throwing you out.
Because you're getting so annoyed.
All right.
Hey,
I got another one. No.
No, but it happened.
I almost let him back in.
You did.
Just like the I was going to be like, all right, Joe, you're back in. And then you're tossed again.
No Coke for you.
Oh, so close.
I see why he gets thrown out a lot.
He was this close.
Right? You were going to say, oh, we'll let you back in.
Oh, wait.
No.
Joe says he had to kick people out of Metallica.
Huh.
Joe?
Yes?
You're on.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning. First-time caller.
Thank you.
I worked Metallica in 91, and unfortunately, my lieutenant asked me to work the mosh pit, which I knew nothing about a mosh pit. It was the first 200 people that came into the concert received some kind of band. They were allowed to go in there. So I had no idea. These guys started playing football with a Nerf ball, playing full tackle, breaking ribs, jaw. These two kids come into the mosh pit. They're wearing Izod freaking shirts with, I don't know.
Oh, no.
With sweaters around their freaking waist.
Just to kick my ass.
Yeah.
So I see this kid lining up for this girl, and let me tell you something. He takes a 30-yard run and hits her right in the head. She never saw it coming.
Oh,
wow.
She broke her eye socket, jaw, went to the hospital. I tried to catch the kid. He was like a gazelle, ran out of the mosh pit, climbed up to the first tier, and he was gone.
Wow. Damn.
So that was my experience with a mosh pit. Crazy.
Yeah. And people were paying to get into it.
Exactly. Okay, where'd you go?
I got an idea. I'll save some money. I'll just walk out in front of a car.
Exactly, right?
Yeah. Let's play football with no pads on and kill everybody who's not looking. It was crazy. Craziest thing I've seen.
Hey, Joe, glad you finally called in. Thanks for the story, brother. Appreciate it. I always turn Scott up at the end because you never know what's going to be said.
Seriously. Can we sing along?
Chaz and Adrian.
Oh, I love that song.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, and it's right in my key, so like I can sing it.
Nice. Oh, really?
Really love your peaches, wanna shake your tree. Love it, love it, love it, love it, dovey all the time.
Might get a memo. Might get a memo from HR.
Baby, gonna show you a good time.
Now, what does that line mean? I really like your peaches, wanna shake your tree.
Why do you have to bring me there? Mm. Why?
I just sang it. I was wondering what it means.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not a big lyrical person.
It's legit.
Maybe he's into nature.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Or fruit. Yeah. Maybe fruit. He's just a fruit lover.
He's really hungry.
From Georgia.
He's a fruit lover.
He's hungry.
He likes peaches. Right.
Exactly.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. Happy 55th to you.
Thank you. 55 years old.
Look at that.
Oh, my
God. Macaroni. Hey, happy birthday.
The nation's speed limit.
What did you do?
We went to dinner with some friends at Max Downtown.
Love that place.
Wednesday night. And,
is that your favorite spot?
Yeah, it pretty much is. You know, they do such a great job.
I've seen you there.
You have seen me there. As a matter of fact, I saw you and Jennifer.
Uh-huh.
It was really nice. But, you know, I celebrated on the cruise. I was off last week. And, Chad, you were sick last week.
Yes.
So you still sound a little nasally.
Coming back.
Did you have the flu?
Yes.
You're kidding.
No.
Nope.
The worst one. Influenza A, which is the deadly one.
Yeah, we shoot for the high one.
We're going to do it. Go big or go home.
Yeah. Yeah, where do you think you got it?
I don't know. I don't, you know, I was asking, why are you looking like that, Pam? What?
Did Pam give it to you?
I thought Scott called you Chad.
He did.
Chad.
We chose to ignore it, though.
Isn't that a country
name? He did, Chad?
Yeah. But I know he knows my name.
I know it.
Just happy.
That's so funny because my Melissa Cole's son is named Chad, and I call him Chaz.
See that?
Right.
See, reverse syndrome. Yeah.
So
you never know what's going on in that corner over there.
No, you don't.
Exactly.
I saw that face. God. I'm like, I know there's something over there.
I tried to hold it back.
Got a test for a gas leak over there.
Thanks a lot, Pam. I appreciate it.
Sorry, really.
Not the first time you said that.
True.
I saw the pictures from your trip there.
It was really nice. We had a great time. It was a sail away to the Caribbean, just on a beautiful ship, and lots of fun, lots of food, lots of drinks, a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then you get back and you're like, oh, my suit jacket doesn't fit anymore.
Exactly. I gained 4 pounds on the trip, which is not too bad.
That's not bad at all.
Not bad at all. No. And it's coming off. I got to lose some weight, as I've been saying for the last 100 years.
Me too.
Yeah.
Just get the flu.
Exactly.
That's right.
I lost 4 pounds.
Right.
Yeah.
I do not want to get the flu. My boss, Tracy, the producer of The Better Show, she had it. She's been knocked out for almost 2 weeks.
2 weeks. See, that's why you get the flu shot.
Right.
You're back up in a few days.
Or she did get the flu shot.
Oh.
Or it's one extra week off.
Ridiculous.
Wow.
Let's milk this.
Yes.
And now, you know, then she came in. I'm like, no, go back home.
Yeah.
I said, okay.
I made the mistake of coming in here when I was full blown.
Oh,
my God.
And everybody seems fine now.
Yeah. No, we're good.
We're not missing anyone, are we?
Not that I know of.
All right.
Yeah, thank God. It's just really awful. 2 more people died in the flu in the state, I think, since yesterday.
Yep.
Damn.
It's unbelievable. Horrible, horrible.
Have you, when you were growing up, did you do chores around the house?
No, we were just discussing this yesterday. That's so funny that you bring that up. I had no chores.
None?
None. I mean, I did it all on my own. Like, nobody said, Scott, go cut the lawn. Like, I was out
Funny you should bring that up. Did you ever use a lawnmower?
Oh, I cut 5 lawns on my block starting at the age of, like, 10.
Look at you. Wow, big lawns.
I recently found out that a member of this show has never been behind a lawnmower, never mowed lawn.
Wow.
Ever.
Who?
And there's no one on this show who's 11 years old.
No.
Who is Pam? Why is Pam, why was she so privileged?
That's your guess.
Right.
But you're wrong.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that would be me. I've never mowed a lawn in my life.
I bet you his next guess was going to be AJ.
The guy with the beard.
Yeah.
Phil?
It's Phil.
Phil.
You've never mowed a lawn?
I have never once mowed a lawn.
Well, it's like you're not even American.
Seriously, man. Everybody cuts the lawn and has a beer afterwards.
Yeah.
It's a rite of passage.
It is.
Being a boy.
What'd you say, Nicole?
And girl. I did it every Saturday.
Right.
Nicole
right.
just said in the background, has he ever had a beer?
Because you cut the lawn and you have a beer.
Oh, my God. I had my lawn boy. It was lime green. It was me and the lawn boy for like 16 years.
They called him lawn boy.
Yeah, they call me the lawn boy.
LB. LB for short.
You put on a yellow cape.
Why am I picturing
Nicole has even mowed a lawn.
See that?
Unbelievable.
She's mowed a lawn while being pregnant.
Exactly.
Yes, while being pregnant. She was just out there yesterday.
Right. We gotta get Phil a lawn to mow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be something. Now, that's a good...
Got to get him a lawnmower.
Yep.
Got to have him mow the lawn.
Right.
I can't believe it. That's like a rite of passage.
I know.
How old are you?
I am 32.
Amazing. It's 32. Really amazing.
He's a he's a mowing virgin.
How do you get out of doing it?
I don't know how you get out of cutting the lawn.
Seriously, every father lives for that.
But when you're 32 and you haven't done it, you're going to be frightened of just being near the motor while it's running.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to be like, oh, my God, this thing could kill me.
What's that noise?
He's a lawn virgin.
And your dad's such a like a man's man.
Yeah.
Well, so my dad has terrible allergies, and he passed that on to me. So my allergies were so bad that I would get nosebleeds.
We'll get you a mask.
Just looking at the lawnmower and get nosebleeds
is cut grass.
I can't cut
my
grass.
My dad just hired people to cut the
nosebleeds.
Here's some toilet paper to put in your nose.
My dad would do that, yeah. Just jam this in your nose and go to the lawn.
Daddy, every time I start that mower, my nose starts to run. Do I really have to do it?
Just cut the bloody lawn.
Oh, my God.
Listen to me sneezing. Oh. Daddy.
You see Phil out there in like one of those biohazard suits.
Yeah, in a hazmat suit.
Like a beekeeper's uniform.
I honestly cannot believe, Phil, you've never cut a lawn. You're going to do it. I'm sorry.
Bizarre. Yeah, you have to.
And he has to do the push one. No riding on mower. You have to
I cut. Do you remember the house in Canton? I cut. It was 2.5 acres. I used to cut the lawn every week.
Wow.
Really? That seems weird. Like, why wouldn't you just pay someone to do it?
I did eventually, but I mean, like, from the beginning, we got the ride on, the John Deere.
Oh, those are great.
I love it. And then we started paying somebody to do it, and they didn't do a good enough
job. Were you
job.
Wearing overalls without a shirt and a straw hat?
Of course, yeah.
And a corn
with
a
long
pipe.
Piece of hay coming
in. Corn, with a corn pipe. Yeah.
It's the Canton way, yes.
Farmer Haney.
Ride around.
Exactly.
You know, my neighbors were just astonished. No, I used to do it in the nude.
Well, then you tan better.
You do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't want to tan line.
Yeah. All over tan, yes.
Unbelievable.
When I, when I started mowing the lawn, we didn't have a mower with an engine. We had that circular thing.
Yes, my grandmother had that.
Yeah, oh, my God.
The manual push mowers.
Oh, you learned real fast not to leave that outside because it rains.
Exactly.
And then you're pushing it's just sliding.
Yeah.
Get the WD-40 out.
Jesus. Yep. All right, we're going to get Phil out in the lawnmower.
I think, though, you should get him out with one of those lawn scissors. Make him do it that way.
Oh, the grass right. clippers.
Yeah, the little clippers.
He'll be out there for 5 days.
Yeah, he will.
I just want to see him starting it.
I just got a text from Phil's dad.
Oh.
You're right to give him S. It's true. I had allergies, but Grandpa Richie made cut grass anyway.
He made him cut
made
grass.
Made him cut grass.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
So, okay.
Oh.
So it's a family tradition over here.
So your dad's father, your grandfather, made him cut the grass anyway.
Ask my dad about the time he got yelled at by his grandmother for cutting the grass with no shirt on.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
All right. I think you just did, and we'll
Scott's
wait for
intrigued.
That.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. We got to get your dad on. So the weekend, Scott?
Tomorrow, 69 inland, 60 for the shoreline.
Damn.
Nice.
And then Sunday, a cooler day with showers expected between about 10 and 11 in the morning. They'll last until about 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And then it gets much cooler. Sunday night, the temperatures drop. Monday and Tuesday, back into the upper 40s, low 50s. Wednesday, a storm's flirting with us, but we'll wait and see what happens.
Rain today?
No, some scattered showers. Nothing too particularly heavy. We got some showers up in northwest Connecticut right now. But for the most part, most towns will stay dry. But there is that possibility of a passing shower. Grab the umbrella.
Excellent. Well, thank you, and happy birthday, bro.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, man.
Nobody in Connecticut hit that $760-something million Powerball.
No.
We did have a couple of winners in Connecticut, though. There was one $150,000 winner, and there were four $50,000 winners.
No, I'd take that.
Yeah, nothing yeah, with that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't take that?
Exactly, more than I had at the moment.
But what do you do if you hit the big one?
What
and
do
we've
do?
Had this guy on before. We call him the lottery lawyer, and it's funny, a lot of times you hear that, and it's not real. This guy, we had him on, and then like 3 days later, someone big hit.
Yep.
Or hit for big money, and then he was the guy.
Exactly.
Like, he's the guy everyone goes to.
Mm-hmm.
He's a man.
And there's a reason for that. Jason Curlin from Uniondale, New York. Hey, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good, right. Thanks. So if you hit for $750 million, like one person did in Wisconsin, what do you do?
First thing you want to make sure is that ticket's secure, right? Like I've said, these are bearer instruments. God forbid you lose it. Somebody else finds it, they turn it in. So know the state you're in. In Wisconsin, it doesn't look like you could be anonymous or form an entity or anything like that. So just sign the back of that ticket. Make sure you put it in a safe place, and then you can start doing what you have to do.
What's a safe place? Like safe deposit box?
Yeah, usually safe deposit box is fine. I had one winner keep it in the Bible, but that seemed to work.
No one goes there.
Yeah.
Underwear drawer.
That I wouldn't be able to sleep at night thinking of a house fire and I lose it all.
Right.
Mm. No, I would. The best thing to do is you make a copy of it, the front and back, and then put it in a safe deposit box.
Gotcha.
And then do what you have to do.
What does the copy do?
You know, it just first of all, you know, if you're going to call me and tell me you're the winner, you know, I need to see a copy.
I wouldn't believe
the amount of calls I get from either people who are mistaken or living some fantasy.
Oh.
Or, you know, I'm not going to travel to Wisconsin if I don't at least see that, you know, there's proof of a win.
Right. Oh, okay.
Okay. And so this you could show to people and not worry about it being ripped out of your hand.
Exactly. You could write copy, whatever you want to write on the copy. You know, this is a copy. You could cross out certain, you know, whatever you want to cross out, make you feel better. But at least you have some proof. And even when you're dealing with the lottery commission, sometimes they want to see that they're talking to the real winner. So if you shoot them a copy, they can say, okay, this looks good. You
right.
know,
legit.
Now we'll talk.
If you lost the ticket in a house fire but had a copy front and back and there's surveillance footage of you buying the ticket, where do you stand?
It's a great question. It's a gray area. I don't know. It hasn't really happened, so there's no definitive answer.
Gotcha.
But it's you know, the lottery commission is pretty clear that they want to make sure you have the ticket. So I wouldn't want to be in that position. But at least if you have a copy and there's surveillance, you have, you know, maybe a shot. But it's not great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now when you have that,
which
copy,
is one of the reasons you want to go forward, you know, as quickly as you can.
Right.
You know.
So you're saying in Wisconsin they can't set up another entity like an LLC or some kind of a business?
You know, these laws are always changing. Every state is so different. But the last I heard, you know, as of a few months ago, that's the case. It has to be a real person. They don't let a trust an LLC, you know, any kind of corporation. And it's pretty clear that they disclose the name and the city you're from.
And let's just say you want the person who won that $750 call or whatever it is. Calls you, so yep. You're going to say, make copies, safe deposit box. What are the next steps?
Stay quiet, right? It's so important
don't
that you don't start screaming, you know, at the top of your roof that you're the new winner. I know it's something you want to do.
Yeah, you do.
You probably want to tell your friends,
right.
But the less people that know, the better. Trust me, it's that time between you winning and claiming, especially in Wisconsin when you have to come forward. It's like your last period of normalcy. You don't want, you know, James from high school coming knocking on your door and saying, oh, I heard, you know, what can I do to help? Or this is, you know, I have an attorney for you. I have a financial advisor for you.
Right.
This is a charity. I need money. You know, all those things.
You then just, you can't even get to your car because there's a media.
Exactly.
Out
swarm.
There,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Media swarms.
How many people or what is the biggest amount of money you've handled for a winner?
Well, recently in South Carolina, $1.5 billion, which was the biggest ever.
That was huge.
So that was obviously my biggest.
Nice.
That's badass.
Damn.
I remember we talked to you, and then it was a couple weeks later I saw you in the news.
Still riding that high.
Yep.
Yeah, and so I'm guessing you advised them the same way, keep quiet, make a copy, and did you set up a company for them, or what did you do for them?
Yeah, so it was a she, right? That's as far as it, but in South Carolina, you could be anonymous. Right, so that's a state that affords anonymity. So you know, she did an amazing job of keeping quiet. She really took her time. She researched. She found me. We set up a whole team. And yeah, when you win that kind of money, you need to set up several entities and spread different banks. And you don't want all that money sitting in one spot, even for a day. So, you know, you need a financial plan. So as soon as that money comes in, you know, you have a plan to put
dispersed.
It where it's going to go.
Right.
And yep. Did you get the sense from this person that they're going to be excellent with the money, or did you look at it and say, oh, boy,
it's
this
gone.
Is going to be a freak
yeah.
show?
Yeah.
No, she's great and charitable and, you know, very, you know, typical of most of my clients, which are freaked out. You know, all my clients, they want to make sure they do the right thing. You know, once you do the research and call me and want to do it right, usually you're in that mindset where, okay, you know, I think that I need some help with this. I can't do it on my own. The people who I'm nervous about are the people that go the next day parading their family around, you know, screaming and doing it on their own. Those are the ones that are targets and who spend too quickly.
Right. Gotcha. They're at the dealership.
Yep.
Buying the Lambo.
Buying the Lambo. Look at me. Yeah.
In the overalls.
Yeah, well, just so you know, I won $2 and I signed my ticket already.
good. You got a trust fund set up for that?
Yes, okay. Yes. I trust it's going to go to some kind of fund.
The lottery attorney, Jason Curlin, is on, and we're linked up to his stuff at ChazAndAJInTheMorning.com. Have you had someone do that? Like,
oh, yeah.
You tried to help them, and they just went bananas?
I have. You know, I represent a lot of winners who are smaller amounts, right? Like the 5 to 10. Seems like a lot of money, but it's quite easy to lose that, especially after taxes, and, you know, you don't understand the tax consequences. You know, the lottery withholds 24% federal, but you're going to still owe another 13% or so, depending on, you know, what you do. But, you know, in the following April, a lot of people don't realize that. So
that's income for that year.
Yeah.
So the feds take 24, but then you'll owe them another 13 for income.
Right.
And that's just feds. And then you got state.
Ouch.
Plus the state. Yeah. But they withhold the state. But still, you know, you just have to plan for that extra tax, and a lot of people don't. I had someone show up my office in a limo before they even hired me to claim. So, you know, there are two kind of sets of people. The one that are going to spend like drunken sailors, where I have to completely rein them in, and then there's the other bucket where they have no idea how rich they are. Right? They don't understand that, you know, they should be flying first class. You know, they're like, I can't spend an extra $5,000 for a ticket. And I explained to him, you're making $5,000 about every 20 minutes, you know? So,
wow.
So, you know, I have to kind of teach them how to enjoy their life, too.
Gotcha. So when we hear one lump sum, they're not done with the taxes. They get the one lump sum, and the lottery takes a big chunk of that. Then there's 37% in federal taxes when you get the lump, and then at the end of the year, and then there's state taxes.
Right.
So if you had to, like, on a percentage, and I know it fluctuates with state and the amount, how much do you think, let's just say, the $1.5 billion, or let's round it off to $1 billion, right?
Okay.
You win a billion, how much after taxes in one lump do you think someone ends up with?
Well, sure. So when you hear $1 billion, that's not $1 billion on lump sum, right? So that's $1 billion if you take the payout over years, which almost nobody does.
Right, which you should do, right?
No, we're going to get to that in a second. Yeah, go ahead.
No. So that all of a sudden is present valued, and then they take tax off that. So I always say, you know, it's around a third. After tax, you're going to end up with, you know, maybe a little more than a third of what they advertise. So, you know, tax-free, $1 billion will end up about $325,
$350. Yeah, it goes
peanuts.
Fast.
Peanuts.
Yeah. Damn. Still great, but that's a lot of money. Like, so you think the person's a billionaire, and they're not a billionaire.
They're still walking funny a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
AJ says he would not get the one lump sum.
No, I get the payments.
Well, maybe he knows himself, you know? So financially, if you're just in the vacuum looking at mathematics, you're better off taking the lump sum. You'll make more money investing it yourself, even conservatively. You'll have control over it. You don't have to trust that, God forbid, something happens with the lottery commission or the states or whoever.
Right.
However, if you know that you're going to spend like a lunatic, and you're going to be, you know, if you're getting, you know, $50 million lump sum, and you think that's going to be gone in 2 years, and you'd rather have the $1 million a year, then, you know, I've had clients do it. But just looking at straight mathematics, it doesn't make sense.
Right. Because I'm just thinking it's foolproof. There's no way in hell I could be broke when I still got money coming to me in case I develop a case of lunaticitis.
And what
lunaticitis? Yes.
What happens if you drop dead?
It goes to your family.
It does?
Yeah. It goes next to kids.
Is that right?
It does, but you can. But the estate can run into tax cuts. I don't want to get too complicated here. But the state can run into estate tax when you take the annuities, which is the yearly payout, because you'll be taxed on the full amount. So it does get a little more difficult too. Plus, we could set up structures where you get the lump sum and then still give you sort of an allowance. I will say, you can only take a certain amount. You could be creative like that too.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, okay. So you set it up trust. You're making. I like that. What do you think is a percentage that's fair to say? All right, we're going to invest this amount, and you'd make 6, 7, 8%.
Yeah, that's such a difficult question because it depends how conservative you want to be. Like, right. If you have $400 million, you want to be conservative. You're never going to get through that, so you want to just keep it at 3%. Just let it grow and know it's not going anywhere. U.S. backed, but if you're going to do you could get, a blended 5-6% if you're be a little more aggressive. And again, depends how old you are. It depends what kind of family you're going with. Everybody's so different.
Right. Okay. So I won $2. How are you going to divvy that up?
We'll set up a trust.
Okay, yeah. Cool. How much my allowance on that one?
I get 30 cents.
Right. Okay, yeah. Cool. I said that sounds fair enough. That sounds fair enough. No, because I got the best right here. I should sign the ticket. I'll come see you.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, Jason, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You see everyone's going bananas about the Avengers Endgame.
Yep.
Apparently someone saw it and said it's over 3 hours.
Yeah.
That post was taken down.
Is that terrible, though? It's letting you get more movie for your money. I mean, I'd rather see a long movie for the money I'm spending than, half hour for the money.
It depends. Doesn't feel like 3 hours.
Yeah. Right. If it's exciting the entire time, go for it.
Do I need to bring my jammies?
Yeah. Am I going to watch the movie and say, you could have cut out at least a half an hour of that? Didn't need to be three. Mm. Mitch Halleck, the King of the Nerds, is on. Are you hearing the same thing? Is it over 3 hours?
Yeah, and when you say the word depends, that's all I keep thinking. I might need a diaper for this one.
Oh, here you go.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a long time to sit. You can't have that big super gulp soda.
How long are they saying it is? It's 3.5 or
three? No, 3 hours and 2 minutes is what Fandango. That's the movie ticket online thing. So they have to list the time of the movies because Tuesday is the day the tickets go on sale. Pre-sales start this Tuesday. So
this isn't something someone saw a version of it that might be shorter when we see it. It's 3 hours.
Yeah, it's legit.
Yeah, which is crazy because, it's all about making money. And the science behind it is you usually do a 2-hour movie. That way you can get more show times during the day.
Right.
So by doing a 3-hour movie, there's only so many hours in the day. You actually just lost a big chunk of revenue, but they're still going to make a couple $1 billion on this thing.
Oh, easily.
What do you think they'll make in a weekend?
The record right now is like 268. I think this thing's going to make $300 million in the weekend, be a all-time record breaker.
There you go.
Jesus.
Right.
Put it down here, $300 million.
All right.
Yeah.
There's this video going around or debate about Ant-Man being able to kill Thanos by flying into his butt.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this debate?
Well, it is true. He could. He's riled up enough. He goes up there and he just enlarges and then just pops him like a balloon.
Exactly.
I think they're going to have some, a little bit more inventive ways to beat him than that, It's too easy.
It'd be a funny way to do it, though.
Yeah.
They finally battle him and all of a sudden you just see Ant-Man crawl in and
just
go,
disappears.
A big boom. It's like, see, was that so hard? And I need a shower.
It really is.
That's more like a Roadrunner cartoon ending, that one.
Right. Yeah. Wile E. Coyote. Yeah, you see Thanos goes, yipes, a little sign. First goes, uh-oh. Right, turns to a jackass. And I'll see, yipes, and then boom.
Disappears up his butt in a puff of smoke.
Right.
Yeah. It's really like it's borrowing from Star Wars, too. You got to fly the X-Fighter into that little hole. You
into the crack.
That little bullet right into the hole.
Find that spot.
Well, I got to just tell you, I was at the comic book writer Jim Starlin's house 2 weeks ago, and he's the guy that came up with Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet and the whole storyline.
Damn.
Yeah, and there's there's some stuff that's already been shown on screen that the fans, if they're very observant and watch the Infinity War, the last Avengers movie, things aren't what you think they're going to be in this next movie. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow. Really?
You sworn to secrecy?
Yeah. Mm.
Can't you tell us what to look for?
Who says Thanos is really a bad guy? That's all I'm going to say.
Oh.
He's just misunderstood.
Exactly right. He's actually a nice guy at heart.
Yeah.
Maybe things aren't what they seem.
Mm.
Okay. Hmm.
Gave me something to think about. I didn't want that.
Yeah, maybe. Wouldn't it be funny if he actually saves everybody?
Wouldn't that be funny? Like funny how like a clown?
There's no way he's giving us this hint right now.
Yeah, really.
Joe Pesci. He's the Joe Pesci of Marvel. What do you know?
I'm here to make you laugh. I'm here to make you laugh, huh? I'm a clown. I'm here to amuse you. I'm here to amuse you.
Phil, you want to nerd out on this for a second?
Yeah, really. This is a classic comic book trope where the supposed villain comes in and like joins the team. So they even did this within the Marvel Universe already, where Loki, who's the bad guy in the original Avengers movie, is now sort of like teaming up with them to try to take down Thanos. So now he's dead. We know that from the last Avengers movie, Infinity War. Or supposed to be dead anyway.
Or is he?
Exactly. So now I guess the only option here is that either there's a bigger threat to the galaxy than Thanos and he knows something that the rest of the Avengers don't.
It's called tolls.
Because we did see Doctor Strange. We did see Doctor Strange look into like 14 million futures and there's only one where they beat Thanos. And maybe that one is where they befriend him and they join his cause or whatever.
Yeah.
I think we just found Phil's calling.
I mean, wow. Yeah.
Mm. Yep. I know. I mean, he's the smartest I've ever heard of the nerds.
Maybe Prince.
All I got to say is, remember, Darth Vader turned out to be a good guy at the last Star Wars
I was going to say that.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, right at the end, he didn't kill Luke.
No.
Nope.
No. Saved his son.
Saved everybody.
So are you hinting that there is some moment of clarity for him and he realizes he's not a bad person? All he wanted was to have a cup of tea and have a quiet morning.
He did.
Exactly. He went to Intergalactic AA and
he's better. Hi, my name is Thanos.
I saw the movie. I'm not a nerd. I saw the movie. It seemed like a crazy mom who has like eight crazy kids and it's like all I want
is
to have a peaceful, quiet cup of tea in the morning.
Yeah. Can I please have that?
A nice bath. Yeah, Calgon, take me away. That's all he wants.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the anger that he had in the movie Infinity War is because he seems to be the only person that understands that there's too many people in the damn universe. We're going to use up all the resources. You're going to kill yourselves by just not looking at what the biggest problem is facing the entire universe. And he keeps using his home planet of Titan as the example, which is now a barren wasteland, because that's exactly what happened. All the resources are gone, so nobody can live on that planet anymore. It's uninhabitable.
Wow, sounds Connecticut.
It's like Venezuela.
It is the story of Connecticut.
Yeah, Connecticut.
We're now known as Titan.
They put up toll booths all over Titan.
Right. No one can live there anymore.
So that snap where he kills half the universe, it's awful because you're thinking about the half of the universe that he killed, but what about the half that he thinks he's saved for generations, perhaps even centuries and millennia to come?
All I know is there's less traffic in the morning after he did that.
That's true. You get to work like that.
Hey, Phil, are we going to go sit and watch all 21 movies before the Avengers?
He posted this on the Facebook page. I don't know if you saw this headline, Chaz.
No.
You want to explain it, Mitch?
Nerdfest?
Yeah, there's a company offering $1,000 for any fan who will sit through all 21 Marvel movies leading up to the Endgame.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's like at least 48 hours or more.
Where's the money?
Right, be more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
So
show me the cash.
I said, who wants to go with me? And Phil said he'd go, but he's got to work unless we do live remotes from the movie theater all day long.
Where's this going to be shown?
Well, you have to apply for it, believe it or not.
Oh.
Give us credentials why you think we should give you $1,000. I go, hello?
I need the money. Yeah.
See my crown?
Exactly, right, yeah.
I'm going to do it anyway. That's the funnier thing. My wife's like, they're going to pay you? You're going to sit in your underwear and watch all these stupid movies anyway for 3 days. I'm like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you paid for it.
Yeah, same. Exactly.
I mean, I don't know if I'd be able to endure all of that. You know, my ass just hasn't had a workout like that in a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got to bone up before you go.
It's called the Infinity Gauntlet Challenge.
I think I'm going to put bone up in that sentence.
Yeah, all right. So, keep us posted on that one. Phil, I think that would be good for you. Yeah. So, Phil, it's either the lawnmower or this. You got to pick one.
I mean, that's the easiest decision ever. Come on. Right. Of course I'm doing the Marvel movie.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, really? That early? That easy? Come on.
Yeah.
Fine.
Well,
all right.
I need the Infinity the donut to sit on like the truck driver.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie?
Which one?
The Endgame.
No, I wish. I got to go see Shazam on Tuesday. That's the new comic book movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just waiting for the big movie, basically. It's like, okay, get this out of the way. Right. I got Shazam, then I got Hellboy, then you got your Game of Thrones thing.
Yeah.
Walking Dead ends this week. This is a big month for nerds, man.
So it's a little card fight for the big title bout.
It's like... It's like April 15th for an accountant.
Game of Thrones comes back. There's also Stranger Things is 3 is coming out. Right. Yeah.
My mom better stock up on those Hot Pockets.
Seriously.
Meatloaf.
All right. Well, nice job with GamerCon.
Yeah, man.
I know we have Terrific Con coming up. We'll be talking to you about that. And thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man. Talk to you.
Time now for Boss Keith's Top 5.
So this list today is a little bit odd. It is the It is the top five things I think everyone knows, but they certainly do not know. So I'll say these at parties or at dinners, and I'll be like, you know, and they're like, we don't know what you're talking about, and nobody knows this.
You don't see a pattern here, Keith.
Many of these we know.
So I think we're skewed because of what we do for a living. So I think you're going to know all of these, whereas I think like my aunt definitely doesn't know.
You spelled screwed wrong.
But should she know?
I think so. I think she should know.
You think she should know these things.
Everybody should know these five things.
These five things.
And in my head, everybody does. So when I bring them up casually, people are like, huh?
Your party research shows not a lot of people know.
This doesn't work.
Right. Got it.
All right. So number five, that the drummer from Def Leppard has one arm. Doesn't everybody know that?
Yeah. Everyone should know that.
Well, yeah.
So I've done some research.
Exactly.
People don't know that.
Really?
And I say things like, No, you know, he has one arm.
Yeah.
Kevin Begley, who works here, his sister goes, you mean like the animal? And he's like, oh, no, that's... So it's a problem.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, so people do not know that, so don't assume that people know that the drummer from Def Leppard has one arm.
And you know how reference. Right.
Car accident. Wasn't he going 100 miles an hour?
New Year's Eve in a Corvette.
Rolled a Corvette.
See? Yeah. Now, people definitely don't know that part.
And they reattached his arm, but due to infection, they had to take it off.
AJ knows a lot about this.
It was a Corvette.
See, you're skewed. You're skewed because you work here. Number four, Frankenstein is the doctor, not the creature. Did you know that?
It's so Frankenstein's monster.
Frankenstein's monster.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
So people don't know that either.
No.
People think that the monster is Frankenstein. If you go to a Party City, the costume for Frankenstein is the creature, not the doctor.
Right. And his real name is Ed.
What?
So. It's interesting that you bring these up at parties.
Right, I'm very cool. Please invite me to your
Frankenstein
house.
And you get invited a lot. Drummer. There's a theme here, right. Body parts.
I see that, yeah.
So number three, that kids eat for free at the 99 when the Red Sox win. Did you know that?
I love
that bit.
I did not know
that. So that's a big one. So there's only one 99 in this area. There's one in Stratford.
Right.
But they're all over New England.
Right.
And they eat. Why are you looking at me crazy?
What about Wallingford?
Oh, in Wallingford. Yes, there's one in Wallingford. But the kids eat for free.
You know that!
The baseball season has started. The kids eat for free. It's a madhouse there. So again, when people talk to me about their kids, I go, oh, did you bring them to the 99? The Red Sox won? And they go, what are you talking about?
Wow.
Right.
Did you know that you can eat free at Denny's on your birthday?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right, number two. I think that everyone knows this, and they don't. Their high school graduation date. I know the exact date. It's June 18th, 1994.
Why would anyone know that
I think everybody knows that.
No one knows that.
It was a monumental day in your life.
I was too wasted.
I put that with your wedding day, like stuff like that. The day you graduate high school.
No. The day I escaped?
I know the day I graduated college. Mine was May 10th of 1998.
I know we were in June sometime, but that's it.
Right. So come to find out, nobody knows this. So this has come up way more because this is a big date for me. I talk about it a lot. And everyone's like, I don't know. It's just like AJ said. I don't know, June?
Do you go to parties a lot, like repeat? Or
Keith gets really sentimental about dates. He knows exactly how many Saturdays he has left in life.
How many Saturdays do you have?
I think it's like 1,800 left. Because the average man lives till 76. So you got to figure. You got to make every Saturday count.
Right.
Because you only have like, I only have like 1,800 left.
You keep on pulling this, you bring down to 72.
And the number one thing that I think everyone knows that they certainly don't is the highest grossing movie of all time. I think that everybody knows this, that this is something that is in everybody's head.
No,
it
let's
is not...
go around the room.
All right, what
so
do you think
at one
it is?
Point it was Titanic, but I would think that there was a, you know, one of the Lord of the Rings beat it, but then that was beaten by one of these Marvel movies.
Avengers. You know, or...
Avengers, yes.
Pam?
I at first was thinking Titanic, but now I'm thinking Black Panther.
Good. AJ,
I was gonna say Black Panther.
Panther.
I was gonna say Black Panther.
All right, Black Panther.
Phil,
I guess the only other obvious one would be Avatar.
It's Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
The
recent Star Wars from like 2015.
Really?
Now, I thought again that's a movie. There was a lot of talk about that. How it became the highest grossing movie of all time. Now it's not. It's not because of inflation. Gone with the Wind is number one for inflation, which is, again, something I think everyone knows. They do not. Black Panther is three, by the way, which is something I also should know.
Worst party ever.
I was gonna say.
So come on over. We can talk about the 99 and Black Panther.
You know what's funny? If we had the Dakin girls on right now, they'd be like, nobody knows this stuff, but my dad does. Right? He keeps on talking.
They know all of these
he
things.
He keeps on
talking. This is all we
do
at home. This is all that happens.
But they don't expect other people to know it, which is what makes them normal.
They'll also mention long car rides, he locks the doors.
Right. Frankenstein is the doctor. Just remember that, everyone.
Thank you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.